So happy that everybody's here today. We are actually taping this live because we're going to do this show, and this show will be available all over the internet. So no pressure, guys. Not all the podcasts and all the different networks. So, well, welcome everybody to our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show here live at G2E. And we're going to talk about innovation in gaming today. And I am super excited to have these amazing guests here. And as many of you know, on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show, we interview top entrepreneurs, executives, athletes who truly are doing the next thing in the sports industry. And that's what we're going to do here. We're going to talk about all these amazing new innovations. So let's kick this thing off. And let me introduce, you know, everybody that we have here on the stage. To my right, I have Scott Sadin, who is the COO of U.S. Integrity. Next to him is Eric Weiss, who is the president of North America for Odds On Compliance, and Chris Reynolds, the CEO of Epoxy AI. And it's just awesome to have all of you here. So thanks for coming out today for this.
Thank you, Wayne.
So let's kick this off. Scott, I mean, I think one of the great things that we always get the opportunity to do on our show is to allow all of our guests to introduce themselves, share a little bit about yourself, but also what's U.S. Integrity and what's some of the super exciting things that are happening and have happened, and I'll let you say it.
Yeah, thank you, Wayne. Excited to participate in this. This is always a great session each year. My name is Scott Sadin. As Wayne mentioned, I'm the Chief Operating Officer of a company called U.S. Integrity. And it is, it's been a busy year. So we're basically an anomaly detection company. We focus on highlighting abnormalities across the sports wagering ecosystem. We partner with collegiate sports properties, professional sports properties, regulatory bodies, and 95 sportsbook operators across the ecosystem. They are all plugged in to our customizable dashboard via which alerts, notifications, reports, insights, educational programming are all delivered. Two quick sort of big highlights for the company. One is we just launched a new product called ProAbet in tandem with our new partners, Odds On Compliance. ProAbet is aimed at combating the sort of rampant prohibited betting issue that we've seen across the collegiate and professional sports wagering ecosystem. It's a really, really exciting project that we've actually been working on for 5 years. Not something that we just did as a result of what was going on with Iowa State and some other sports properties, but something we've been working on for a long time. And then lastly, we just announced a merger last week with Odds On Compliance, which I'm really excited about and think it presents a ton of opportunities, not just for us, but for our partners across the ecosystem who all are looking for more services from one platform to consolidate sort of the number of vendors and number of resources they're deploying.
Well, it is amazing. And I guess I should say at the same time, each one of your companies are companies that 76 Capital has invested in. And we're just super proud of what all of you have done so far and what the future looks like. So, Eric, from your perspective, maybe talk a little bit about what you think about this exciting merger that's coming, that's happening, as well as what you and your team at Odds On Compliance do.
Sure, Wayne. Thank you, and Scott. Nice job. It's exciting times, like you guys are saying. It's really good, exciting times. I am the president of North American Operations for Odds On Compliance. What we specialize in is really, we're a full-service consulting company. So when you talk about the merger, you talk about the ProAbet software, it's been in the makes for, you know, like Scott said, over 5 years. The merger made sense for a lot of reasons, and it's exciting. We primarily, the reasons are our technology and our people. We've been working with this company for a long time, and they specialize in the sports protection and you know, keeping it free from match fixing and integrity. And what our technology does is it allows people, if you're in a compliance role, what our technology allows you to do is to look at the regulations across the United States, Canada, 22 countries in Europe, in Brazil. You're able to research every regulation that's available. We bring it all together into one location. You can compare jurisdictions. You can research similarities, difference, to use it for strategy choices. And it's updated daily. So if you're in a compliance role and you're considering expanding in the United States, or if you want to come into the United States and you want to see how your product is going to comply, it's a one-stop shop. All the regulations, whether it's iCasino, iLottery, fantasy sports, retail casino, retail sports, they're all there in one easy to navigate, intuitive, one-stop shop. What you're going to see in the future that's going to continue to grow, there's really cool features in it. For instance, if you work with regulators, you know how when you do some research and you're looking at the regulations, there's a lot of gray in those regulations, right? It's not clear what they mean by something. So what you do is you call the regulator and you get that information, but then it ends with you might have a spreadsheet, you might be able to annotate what you talk to the regulator about. But what's cool about our product and our technology, it allows you to take that knowledge and put it right into your application, your playbook instance, so that it's available to you. So if you go back to look a year from now, you see all your notes, all your interactions with the regulator, and it creates institutional knowledge. So even if you, as the compliance officer, leaves, your notes stay for the next compliance officer that comes in, and you can share those notes with other people on your team and things like that. So, and there's all kinds of features coming in the future. So, but thanks for the...
Yeah, I mean, we're excited to talk about all the new innovations and features that you're going to be building. And it's a great segue to Chris Reynolds, the CEO of Epoxy.ai. Chris, I'm going to get back to Eric and his background. But at the same time, I think, Chris, your background and what you've done as an entrepreneur, as a corporate executive in a very large company, and now back as an entrepreneur again and looking to innovate, and truly not looking, you are innovating and truly changing the sports betting industry. So share a little bit about Epoxy with us, please.
Sure, I'd love to, and thanks, Wayne. I'm Chris Reynolds, the CEO of Epoxy AI. My co-founder's in the audience, Jason Angelides. We've been working in sports tech now for well over a decade. Going back now two companies to our first business, which was called 1-2-C. We built a real-time visualization platform for professional and collegiate sports that could be integrated into set-top boxes, smart TVs, web applications, and broadcast, actually. We wound up selling that company to Comcast in 2016, which till this day continues to be kind of the foundational components and services for the sports services that Xfinity, NBC, and Sky make available to their customers.
So, Chris, isn't that the thing you could just say, you talk to your remote and say, show me some scores, and
sure,
your stuff shows up?
Yeah, so we built some pretty interesting technology while we were there, being able to utilize the voice remote to call up your favorite team, your favorite players, matchups, individual videos around sports, things like that. The things that you're seeing now on YouTube TV around stats and the integration of video and highlights are things that we were frankly doing almost a decade ago. And so my partner and I were fortunate enough to see Real Money Gaming, sports betting in particular, coming together with media back in 2019, where we came up with this concept for Epoxy AI, which was really at its highest level, we're personalizing the sports betting and iCasino space. So if you think of a Netflix or a YouTube or an Amazon and how those interfaces are actually personalized for the individual user, we have an AI and an ML platform, and we license the services and products off of that platform to betting operators all over the globe. We've partnered with the major gaming platforms here in the United States. We have a deal with AWS. We have operator partners here in North America, in the United States and Canada. And we're growing, and it's really exciting.
Yeah, that's amazing, Chris. And Scott, we'll kind of maybe jump off of that and maybe share how you at US Integrity work with some of the major leagues, some of the major conferences, whether it's the NFL, the Major League Baseball, or the SEC, the Big 12, and why they work with you, why the commissioner of the Big 12 has just basically said you must work with US Integrity, and why that's such an important thing across the sports and the gaming industry today.
Yeah, I think there's a few aspects to that. The first is that we focused our company from the very beginning on one, building relationships, and two, problem solving. We wanted to make sure that if there were any questions related to sports betting, they knew who to call, right? And so it wasn't just a, here is some unique, proprietary, intuitive dashboard that gives you a whole host of tools, insights, reporting, notifications, and here's a customer service hotline, right? Every single one of our clients has my cell phone number and my business partner, Matt Holt's cell phone number, right? So we were there when
navigating. Is that the Matt Holt who was just rated the fifth yeah. most important person in collegiate sports?
Ahead of Charlie Baker, I might add. It's been a really, really unique opportunity in the collegiate market, because initially they were so apprehensive to even embrace or engage someone like us, who, again, we're not an operator, we don't offer odds, we don't distribute odds, we're not making odds, we're not managing risk, we're only providing transparency and visibility and highlighting anomalies that could warrant further investigation or be indicative of potentially suspicious or nefarious activity. And at the early days, a lot of the collegiate folks were definitely reticent about what the perception could be to even engage someone like us. Now, fast forward 5 years, they recognize they can trust us. They recognize they can value not just the reporting that we give, but the, you know, random call on a Saturday night to discuss something in real time related to a potential misuse of insider information circumstance.
I mean, a quick follow-up, Scott. I mean, you know, in your time when, over the last 5 years, are there any sort of maybe stories that you can share with, whether it was a team, a league, where that you've kind of shared with them some betting-related information or how much was bet on a game, their game, and what that reaction was from the sports side of the world?
So one of the other things that we do really well is an education vertical, right? So we not only go on campus, but we allow and avail sort of a proprietary learning module system that has a bunch of different modules in it, right? Case studies, tabletop exercises, bad actor profiles, misuse of insider information, versus match fixing, versus game manipulation, who to stay away from, how to implement information sharing policies, all of that good stuff. And when we go on campus and talk through all of those different topics and emerging trends, we also focus pretty significantly on, one, case studies, and two, how much is actually being wagered across the ecosystem on their program. And I don't just mean men's college basketball and men's college football. I'm talking about women's college volleyball. I'm talking about tennis. I'm talking about whatever sport they have that has regulated wagering available on it. And I think that does two things. One, it really shows the scope and the size of the market for a lot of these sports that I don't think collegiate administrators had any idea existed, at least initially. And then two, it does provide valuable insight for them as they look to unlock this category potentially down the road, whether it be through a direct to sportsbook sponsorship arrangement or some kind of data deal with a data company. And so I think that information is helping to inform their understanding and the context of the market and the size of the market so that they can more impactfully and effectively negotiate some of those potential deals.
And so, Eric, I mean, I think one of the things that I'd love to hear from you is, you know, you were on the regulator side, right? That's where you came from. Why did you come over and join Eric Frank at Odds On, and what did you see the opportunity was, and how has that played out?
Sure, thank you. I was a New Jersey regulator for 30 years. I spent time as an investigator doing computer investigations. I ran our slot lab, and I became chief of staff before I retired in 2021 under Dave Rebuck. I think my greatest experience was during the time that I ran the lab. New Jersey is different than other jurisdictions. We have our own test lab. We don't use GLI or BMM. So I was responsible for all of the technology that was used in Atlantic City. It would come through my lab. We would evaluate it to ensure that it's suitable for use, basically. Then comes along 2013, and we're getting ready for online casino gaming. And I was responsible for researching the regulations, looking you know, to other jurisdictions to see how they were doing. I can remember sitting in my dining room with like Alderney, Gibraltar, France, all the regulations out, and I'm highlighting, you know, what's good, what's bad. We didn't have playbook back then, right? I wish we did. But, yeah, I mean, and what was good, like, we thought that if, you know, if we could prove that you can launch iGaming and regulate it with a high level of integrity, that it would take off, right? That every other jurisdiction in the country would have online casino. Didn't happen. We were surprised. It didn't happen. Not until we overturned PASPA in 2018 and we won our Supreme Court ruling, that's when online took off, right? So that's when a lot of the regulators came into New Jersey and said, okay, well, how do you guys do it? And that's, so that was my background and my experience coming over from the regulator side. And just to make a long story short, I was, I mean, 30 years I was gaming, and I turned 55 and talked to Director Reebok. He said, look, if you're gonna leave, I said, it's time to retire. And he said, make sure you have a job. And that day, Eric Frank called me out of the blue to ask me about a policy issue. I said, well, you're not gonna have me around much longer. And he said, well, come on board. And he told me what was happening, his vision for this company. We're like, to, and my experience as a regulator was a perfect fit, right? We help companies with compliance, help them to navigate the patchwork of regulations that exist all over the country. People need to get launched, they need to know how to do it, whether it's licensing, whether it's technical compliance, whether it's operational support, internal controls. That's what we do. And our technology helps people do that. We use it, our customers use it, and regulators use it. So yeah, that's kind of what attracted me to this, and that's kind of how I wound up here on the dark side with these guys.
Well, Chris, I mean, again, as I said, you've been an entrepreneur, you were a corporate guy, you're an entrepreneur again with Jason. Again, what are you, like a glutton for punishment, right? But I mean, where is he? But I mean, I think one of the things is, but what's been amazing to see also is your team. The team that you had at 1-2-C, the team that you had at Comcast, and that team, again, now at Epoxy.ai. And, you know, so I'd love to hear a little bit about that at this, as well as when you, when I kind of you make you, you know, share with people what Epoxy is, I use this example of the idea that, you know, where we are with sports betting apps today is similar to where we were when Amazon just sold books. Now Amazon, you could buy anything and they know everything about us. And my understanding is that's what Epoxy.ai can do for the overall gaming industry. And I mean overall, not only sports betting.
Yeah, thanks. And you're right. So I've been very fortunate over the course of my professional career to really be working with the same group of folks, the same team now for over 12 years. We started at 1-2-C. They came with us through the acquisition at Comcast. And they left with us when we started Epoxy AI. And to me, we've benefited from that significantly. There's a tremendous amount of trust across the organization. We have remote folks that we never have worried about. And we frankly rely and trust one another so much that it's allowed us to really accelerate things. Everyone up on the stage can speak to the fact when you're starting a company and you're hiring folks and you're making decisions on, you know, not a tremendous amount of data, and you're hopeful that things will work out. But frankly, usually they don't, right? The best baseball players in the world hit the ball 3 times out of 10. So I'm lucky, and we don't take it for granted at all. And everyone contributes, and everyone's aware of what we're doing, and I hope I can continue to do it for the rest of my career. As far as what we're doing in the industry, I think you nailed it, Wayne. Larry Page has an expression that for a digital experience to be successful, it needs to pass the toothbrush test, meaning it's something that you have to use every day. For us, we believe for sportsbook or iCasino to be successful in the long term, those services, they're going to continue to expand. Number one, they're going to offer more than just betting offers and casino games. They're going to integrate, and have already started to do this, video and editorial and other merchandising and e-commerce offers. But all of the things that a betting operator puts in front of you have to be contextual to who you are, what type of person you are, how you bet, the type of content that you engage with, and they have to get it right. Otherwise, you're going to go somewhere else. Right now, we see a greenfield opportunity because of the lack of, frankly, differentiation in the market across sports betting applications and especially iCasino, where there is none. And so for these operators to continue to be successful and continue to scale out, they have to make their experience personalized for the individual user, and that's frankly what our software does. We make it available in multiple ways. We license APIs for the more sophisticated operators that have client and front-end teams and data teams. For our kind of frankly less sophisticated or partners that just don't have the resources, we have off-the-shelf components that they can take and integrate into their experience and deliver one-to-one personalization out of the gate. Betting operators cannot continue to fill up their customers' wallets with bonuses and other things. It's unsustainable, and I'm not saying anything that no one in this audience doesn't already know. So now they're trying to figure out how do we make these experiences something that someone wants to use every day. And the best way to do that is to start with personalization.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that we certainly think about at 76 Capital, you know, my partners and I, we're constantly always looking at all the new things that are happening across the sports world. I mean, there's been so many big things happening with, you know, just I'll throw out a couple things, like Apple getting the rights to broadcast the MLS. They doing MLB games. The fact that Thursday Night Football is on Amazon with their Vision product, and how you now there's all this data flowing within there, what they're doing. The fact that YouTube has the Sunday Ticket, and you now see these major technology companies, the biggest in the world, coming to the world of sports. Because, as we all know, the sports industry is truly an asset class today. And this is where individuals are now buying teams for $6 billion. People are doing things, I mean, you look back, only a few years ago, there were only two teams that were worth over $2 billion. And now every single NFL team is worth more than $2 billion. So with this sort of backdrop, Scott, you know, share with everyone kind of what your thought is around all this, and how gaming and how that sort of plays such an important role, and how US Integrity is there to truly make sure that this all can happen, because you're making sure that everything's on the up and up.
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's one we always wondered how it would play out, honestly, because with the sort of proliferation of regulated sports betting has come sort of the I would call it casual convergence, right? And so now you have people on broadcasts talking sort of openly about what the spread implications of a particular play or a particular decision might be. You have individuals on social media that pretty much exclusively are talking about sports betting related content related to what's happening on the field of play and nothing to do with who might actually be winning the contest. Because of that, and because of the amount number of dollars that are flowing into this space, the vulnerabilities have increased quite significantly. And that's not just for student athletes, it's not just for professional athletes, it's also for athletic administrative staff, and it's perhaps even most importantly for sort of family members and people that are close to certain programs and sports entities and organizations. So for us, there's a couple things that are really, really important in making sure that we're combating those vulnerabilities or at least providing oversight to them. The first thing is that we make sure we have the most robust technology and data and technology and data-driven solutions that we possibly can. So get as much data in, push as much content out. The second thing is we need to ensure that there is consistent engagement across the ecosystem between regulatory bodies, sportsbook operators, and sports properties. The first couple of years of regulated sports betting, those three organizations were never talking with one another. Obviously, regulators and sports books needed to work with one another as they were getting licensed and up and running in certain jurisdictions. But other than an AGO deal between a big, you know, NFL, NBA, and DraftKings or FanDuel, there wasn't a ton of communication on compliance and regulatory technology and education and responsible gambling. And I think over the last couple of years, we've seen a significant amount of tailwinds pushing those types of topics to the forefront. And so from U.S. integrity standpoint, we want to make sure that we are focusing on those in a responsible way, but also in a meaningful and value-add way.
Yeah, I mean, Eric, maybe you could touch on this whole unbelievable trend that's happening with sports, is just the level of interest, the level of money that's truly coming into all this. And then, you know, maybe even to tie it back to the original joint venture that's Odds On Compliance did with U.S. Integrity, and how you guys worked together sort of to kind of lead up to this merger in a way, and the importance of what Prohibet does.
Yeah, sure. So for those of you that have not heard about Prohibet, it solved a problem that existed out there. It was an important one. Across the country, when sports betting was approved and the regulations became adopted and statutes were developed, there was a requirement for the operators to be able to identify certain prohibited bettors. And those prohibited bettors are typically people that could influence the outcome of a game, people like coaches, athletes, trainers, referees. The thing is, regulators had no leverage over the sports leagues, and the sports leagues were not about to give away their PII data and have to maintain it with operators in every state across the country. It just wasn't going to happen. So that was the problem. How do we address this issue? And so that's what was the beginning of the joint venture between Odds On Compliance and USI. So what we developed was a way for them to share the information in a manner that was encrypted. So we take all the sports leagues, all of their PII data, all that personal information, and we allow them to encrypt it so that we can't see it. We have no access to that data. Now you have the operators. It's the same thing. They don't want to share their betting information, right? How much a person is worth, what they're betting, who they're betting on. So we allow them to encrypt it as well. So we take this encrypted data we can't see, and we use our technology to match it. And if somebody's betting on Major League Baseball, we check to see if they're part of the Major League Baseball roster. And if there's a potential match there, we alert both sides. Hey, we have a potential match. You guys need to investigate this. And we leave it up to them to be able to determine if this person is indeed a prohibited bettor as part of Major League Baseball. And then they can take action.
And there's just one more thing I wanted to add super quickly related to the Prohibet, which I think is, again, sort of emblematic of where we're at with Odds On Compliance, but also where we're at as an ecosystem, which is we ran like a year-long pilot program. Participation from UFC, participation from big professional sports properties, as well as Southeastern Conference, Big 12 Conference, Mountain West Conference, American Athletic Conference, 15 different sportsbook operators, 25 different regulatory jurisdictions, bi-weekly Zooms talking about here's what we've ideated on, right? Here's what the technology looks like. Here's what our matching algorithms are going to be. Here's how you would receive an alert. Here's what the UX UI looks like. And what those forums did would allow sort of each stakeholder group to understand the rationale behind their must-have features and their must-have requests. Because as you might imagine, regulators, sportsbook operators, and sports properties don't really agree on anything, right? And so getting them to agree on how this super complex and nuanced product would work was never going to be something, hey, we developed it, why don't you guys use it? We needed insight and input from each of those groups in order to make sure it was robust and effective.
And that's what Matt Heap was doing for you guys. Matt was really like in the middle. You're the referee in the middle
that's
of all
right.
That.
That's right. Matt Heap was our managing director of Prohibet, was the referee, the judge, and the jury. And so, you know, obviously his career as a 30-year regulator in Colorado, most recently as chief of sports betting, has been really, really integral and important as we roll this out.
So, you know, Chris, I mean, going back to Google, Amazon, Apple, their entrance, their involvement, their importance across the sports world, how does that play into all the things that you think about with you and your team at Epoxy?
Yeah, so it's a really good question, and I think it's their participation in professional and collegiate sports globally is having an impact on the entire media ecosystem. So if you think through the lines of kind of distribution, Apple has the opportunity to turn on billions of potential users literally overnight. So does Google and so does Amazon. these are also ancillary businesses for them. They're almost add-ons to their existing businesses. And so the next couple of years are going to be really interesting to see how these things kind of play out between traditional media and broadcasters, and how big of a position companies in Silicon Valley take in sports. How it affects us directly, it's actually a great opportunity for us. I talked to this group about personalization. One of the a use case or a concept that's been floating around for years is a watch and wager type of scenario. So 85, or depending on what stat you're looking at, 80 to 85% of bettors are watching whatever it is they're betting on. Wouldn't it be really interesting to synchronize the betting experience to what someone's watching? Platforms like Google and Amazon and Apple have the ability to start demonstrating some of these use cases right now. We actually provide a service that enables betting operators and media companies to do this. We'd always kind of banged our head against the wall, like, why aren't these potential partners understanding it? It's not as complicated as folks are making it out to be. Now that some of this is being demonstrated in the market, I think you're going to see a lot more of it. I think you're going to see betting operators, outside of like branding opportunities and marketing opportunities, bringing their content into these digital experiences, whether they're coming from an Apple, an Amazon, or Google, or whether they're being distributed through a Peacock, a Hulu, or potentially an Xfinity. So I think it's going to create a much more engaging opportunity for betting operators, for users. I'm thankful that we have some technology that can serve into that. But I think the next couple of years are going to be very, very interesting when we look at sports rights, where those rights are going to land, and how those rights are going to be distributed, and the type of scale that these folks have to really change the game and the technology platforms to support it.
Well, building on that, Chris, I mean, I think the thing is, I think there's a great example on the floor here at G2E where, Aristocrat has done a deal with not only the NFL, but the NFLPA. And if you haven't had it, if you're here watching this, and not listening to this in the future on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show, or maybe if you are, then just go to a casino and play the NFL slots and see what that's like. Because to me, this is like the beginning. It's the first step where you have video, not just like old video. You have your current stars on the screen that you can watch. You're spinning the reels. I mean, and it's really fun and engaging. And if you're a sports fan, it's like, this is kind of fun to play slots. It's not just like cherries and watermelons, right? I mean, it's a whole different game. How does that all impact what's going on here?
Yeah, and I think it's very smart. We like Aristocrat a lot. They're an investor of ours, really bright people over there. And if you think about, just zoom out for a second, iCasino and Sportsbook have for years now tried to figure out how to convert one customer from one side of the business into the other side of the business. I think blending sports with casino games is actually kind of a very smart and intelligent way to capture that user. Slots make up the majority of revenue for most iCasinos out there. Sportsbook, if you can get your VIPs into that space or your steady bettors into that space and have them participating with iCasino games that resonate with them, that are tied to either a broadcast or live action, and you're using player images and likenesses to draw some correlation between what you like and an iCasino opportunity. I'm surprised it's actually taken this long, but it's a very smart concept.
Well, Eric, why? Why has it taken this long? And have there been other forays in the past that you've seen as a regulator where this has happened? Or is, you certainly have like the Elvises and the Britney Spears and that kind of stuff. And I guess now you're going to get I'm sure you're going to get a, what's her name? I can't even think of her name right now.
Taylor Swift.
Sorry. Yeah. Of course you're going to get Taylor Swift. We had to talk about Taylor Swift because that's just everybody's talking about Taylor Swift. So maybe it's like a Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce mashup sponsored by State Farm or something. I don't know. Maybe they'll sponsor the show. Who knows? Come on. But Eric, over time, like, how are you sort of, have you seen something like this and like what's going to happen in the future?
Yeah, sure. It's, let's face it, gambling is entertainment, right? And that's what it is, and that's what they're providing. And with this, it's providing personalization. You can play, you know, your favorite team. It's your theme. You're seeing that, and you're seeing those types of innovative approaches, not only on the casino floor, but in online. Anybody can throw up a sports book website and put a line on a game, right? But how are you going to get noticed? How are you going to compete with the big guys that are spending billions of dollars on advertising and things like that? So what you're seeing is innovations that allow you to personalize things, to allow you to forecast the type of games that they're going to bet on. You have innovative companies like Boxy AI. So you're seeing that all over the place. We've seen it in the past. You've had, like, I don't know, Kiss slot machines. You'd have all kinds of different themed games where they try to do that, and they have a little bit of staying power, and then they go away and they try something else. I think as far as disrupting the industry, and you look at historically, as far as slot machines go, there's only been a few things that really, really changed the game. First it was, we're going to go way back, right? The microprocessor. Before that, there were physical real stops. The microprocessor allowed casinos to have virtual real stops, which allowed to have the astronomical odds and the giant progressives that you see out there today. That fundamentally changed things. The next thing that you saw in the industry that changed things was Tito. Before, like when I started, there was coins in the slot machine. Now there's Tito everywhere. What's coming now is cashless, and you'll have a universal wallet someday to be able to gamble online back into the casino as well. That's just one example of personalization. How do you reach people? The casinos now they're trying anything to do that and to differentiate their product and to make them loyal to their products.
So Scott, I mean, you know, share with me and the audience here. I mean, some of the things that you're thinking about for the future of this merger between US Integrity and Odds On Compliance, and what should we be keeping our eyes out for?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's been something that honestly Matt and I have been talking about since the beginning. We always envisioned a sort of one-stop shop with respect to compliance, regulatory consulting, and regulatory technology services. We had a mandated service in the couple of jurisdictions that had launched regulated sports betting with integrity monitoring. That was also a domain expertise of Matt's and something that I had some familiarity with respect to financial services trading compliance in my background. And so we focused on that quite significantly and allocated, you know, quite a few resources, both from a technology and dollar and human capital perspective, to really become core competency and domain experts and best of breed solution on this. But we always knew that at some point we wanted to roll in, bolt on as many additional mandated and nice to have RegTech services for a couple of reasons, right? One, we wanted to ensure that we streamlined process. We made efficiency top priority. We made frictionless engagement with compliance. But two, we also knew that at this point there are several, if not dozens, of sort of niche bespoke providers that do one compliance service. And I think we always envisioned that as we see a little bit of a scale back and consolidation, and as some of these sportsbook operators face some headwinds, there's going to be decreased spend across those number of providers. And so we want to consolidate on our own as many of those services as possible, roll them up into U.S. Integrity Odds On Compliance merger, and really then try and make them as streamlined and automated as humanly possible. And again, focus on problem solving, going to sportsbook operators, iGaming companies, and saying, hey, what are the top of mind compliance issues that you need solutions for? And if we don't have them yet, we will go out and get them. So that's our primary goal. I think that Odds On Compliance is the perfect partner for us. I think they complement our weakness as well, and I think vice versa is the case. But more importantly, there is a tremendous culture fit for us, which has always been of paramount significance. We work well together. We've faced adversity together. There's hurdles we've had to clear together. We know how one another work. And so I think that is probably the most important driving factor that has informed what some of the next steps are going to look like.
So one of the things I want to touch on, and you touched on a little bit earlier, but just your relationships and it's also sort of the pulling in of the leagues into this conversation, the teams into this conversation, where, you know, just a couple years ago, before PASPA was, you know, kind of gone, overturned, whatever you want to call it, right? Like, you couldn't even have sports-related people in conversations about sports betting. So how have you seen the shift, the change from an executive at the college level, the pro level, and how much now that they're able to engage with you, share their ideas with you, and then also be able to then have that conversation with the sports book, have that conversation with the regulator, and bring this whole group together in a very special way?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think you phrased it well. The key thing for us was the professional sports ecosystem is quite different than the collegiate sports ecosystem for many, many reasons that I won't necessarily get into at the moment. But everything in this industry is going to take a while. For professional sports to get into sports betting, that kind of happened at the drop of a hat, right? We saw announcements every single day, it seems like, for a year about different sponsorship opportunities, partnership, AGO, LBO deals with both individual teams and organizations as well. And so what we always were saying, at least in the professional sports ecosystem, was, look, that's great. It makes perfect sense that you're going to now obviously try and capitalize upon this enormous economic opportunity. Let's just make sure that we're doing it in a responsible way. I think we can be helpful in, one, providing visibility and transparency into what's occurring across the sports betting ecosystem, but then, two, we provide educational services. We provide some kind of prohibited better platform for you guys to engage with. And then lastly, you promote responsible gambling, you promote your engagement with a company like us, and you promote your interest in generating as much visibility and transparency as possible. I think that goes a long way. With respect to the collegiate landscape, very different. Collegiate landscape, athletic directors and administrators, in most cases, obviously there are some exceptions, they have been told don't bet on it since they were in AAU, youth baseball, right? I mean, they were told never go near this stuff. And so that is still the case. They shouldn't be going near this stuff. There are not really any active corporate partnership opportunities between a school and a sports book. That being said, it's still a category that I think they should understand and know about, as opposed to just ignore and deflect. And so one of the things that's been really important for us is bringing some of our collegiate partners' understanding of this ecosystem and the nuances and the players and the different stakeholders and how they interact with each other, to a place where they now feel comfortable in hearing a different company's name or hearing a different type of integrity-related issue or some kind of emerging trend, right? If I went to an athletic director and talked about live betting 2 years ago or micro-betting or even what a point spread was or a player prop, 50-50 chance that they even knew what I was talking about. Now, most of our partners are pretty well-versed in this space, and I think that makes them really well-equipped to engage with it in however they deem most appropriate.
I mean, Eric, from your vantage point, being in New Jersey as the regulating body, how much has this really surprised you? I mean, you were saying earlier, like, with this idea that you had, iGaming's coming through, and obviously it hasn't gone as quickly as many of us would like, but then all of a sudden, you have the sports betting wave, and this well over 35 states now within the last 5 years, $250 billion bet. I mean, like, it's happening in a big way. Is this a surprise to you, or is this what you would have truly expected over the years?
The revenue numbers, they still amaze me when you look at it, and it still grows in New Jersey. I mean, we've been operating since the beginning online and in sports betting. It blows me away about how fast, it's grown and how much it's grown over the years. And the Division of Gaming Enforcement and regulators around the country, too, are taking notice of other issues, the societal issues, the potential harm that comes from sports betting and casino betting. And it's another area you're seeing innovation, right? The area of responsible gaming. And that's another area that Prohibit could someday help out in. Right now, we're laser focused on sports as prohibited bettors, but there's other people that can be considered prohibited, right? It could be somebody that self-excluded or said, I need a timeout. or you know has met their deposit threshold for the year. So, yeah, as far as the growth, it's been amazing. But the technology is keeping up, and the issues change over time. And right now, everyone is kind of, and you talked about professionals and you know, and their thoughts about gaming and how that's changed. But now they're advertising and they're sponsoring. But then you're seeing other regulatory agencies saying, time out, we can't have them involved in advertising or encouraging people to gamble. So it's kind of evolving around the country from a regulatory perspective, and where it goes, not sure.
So as we start to wind down here at G2E on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show, you know, one of the things that I love to do with guests like the three of you that are truly visionaries, experts, and innovators across the gaming industry, you know, Chris, maybe I'll start with you with what do you see, you know, what are a couple things that you see over the next 3 to 5 years that will, as we're sitting here at G2E in 3 years, in 5 years, what's going to be different? What will be different? Who's going to be here that maybe is not here? Or will some of the companies here look different in some way?
Yeah, so it's a great question. I'm amazed every year when I come how much bigger the show is, how many more people are attending. There seems to be kind of consistent growth, just generally speaking, in the whole vertical. I think you'll see continued consolidation on the sportsbook side. I think it's traditionally what happens in most markets. I think you're going to have 4 or 5 major brands competing for the majority of market share. I think those 4 or 5 brands will, as I noted earlier, will be more than just presenting or making betting offers available to their users. I think they're, in essence, going to become media destinations for their customers and for their users. I think more states are going to continue to fall as far as enabling sportsbook to be available and iCasino. Continued technical integrations and innovation around the video product, whether you're watching on your phone, you're watching on your TV, or you're streaming something on a laptop or a tablet, you're going to see a much greater presence of betting content integrated into those live video streams. At some point, that content will become transactional. And I think that there's just a tremendous amount of opportunity for everyone up on the stage to continue to scale and grow their businesses kind of across the vertical. And I think we're going to definitely see less sports betting services in the market over the coming years. It's just too expensive to maintain and run when you're competing already with 3 or 4 major operators here domestically that own the lion's share of the market.
Eric, same question.
Well, I'll just talk about our product. So what I see happening, I see it evolving, getting better. I mean, we sit around thinking, well, how can we improve this, right? What does the industry need? We're talking about compliance technology, okay? So I can see in the future the ability to upload documents so that you could use that as a search engine on your own information. I can see our technology being able to automate the creation of internal controls, to automate the evaluation of existing internal controls against existing regulations.
But I got to interrupt you. If you check with your CTO, Mark, you know,
yeah,
and if you talk to Ricky,
he's
over there,
yeah,
and Ricky over at USI, they like giving those guys a lot of work, you know.
Well, that's what's great about the merger, right? We have two tremendous technology-driven companies, and we're going to continue to leverage that in the future.
Love it, love it. Scott?
Big surprise. My answer is probably pretty similar to Eric's, at least from a thematic standpoint. I think we're going to see a more significant allocation of outside dollars into service companies, into reg tech companies, into operational suppliers, as opposed to into B2C sportsbook operators or peer-to-peers. And then lastly, I think, like what I was talking about with Prohibet, it really was a fantastic example of how when the stakeholders, the primary stakeholders at least, in the sports wagering ecosystem, sportsbook operators, sports properties, and sportsbook regulators engage with one another in a meaningful way to develop a solution that combats a really nuanced and complex issue. I think that the people that have engaged in this thus far, I hope and I feel that there's hope and that there's opportunity to do this with other problems. And so now I think that there's, you know, more active participation across those different sides of the ecosystem with one another directly. And I think that's ultimately a good thing for the space moving forward.
No, I think one of the last things we could do is, as we sort of wrap up here, is also just think about, you know, what has happened, right, within the last 5 years that has truly been shocking. I mean, there's been some shocking things, and quite frankly, I think there are some more things that are happening right now and some new entrants into this. I mean, Chris, you talk about consolidation, but there are people that are coming in. There are groups that are ramping up. There are others that are kind of thinking about this a little bit differently. Just real quick, I mean, just go get on the line on that.
Yeah, so it's a great question. And there's always going to be new entrants for a number of different reasons. And so that's what keeps it exciting and keeps everyone on their toes. Generally speaking, I think something that's happening now and is going to continue to happen for the foreseeable future is really the education and gamification of sports betting. Sports betting interfaces and the sports betting services, if you're a non-bettor, a new bettor, or a better someone that just doesn't understand how these things work, they're intimidating. You'll open up an application, you'll look at it and say, what's a money line? What does all this stuff mean? I don't trust this, so I'm not going to partake. I think what you're going to see is for the casual and non-bettor, services that will become more popular is how do we gamify that event so everyone can relate to it, everyone easily understands what they're doing and feels comfortable with what they're doing. That's what the market, it's starting to happen, and that's what's going to have to happen to go out and get that much larger pool of potential users that still haven't opted in.
Eric, real quick.
It's the entertainment factor. You know, how do you make it fun? How do you get immediate gratification? How do you make it intuitive? All kinds of innovation out there, all kinds of companies figuring out how to do that.
I think we start to see, from a regulatory perspective, I think we start to see this industry mirror the financial services sector a lot more closely in the next 5 years. I think there's going to be more guidance coming out from regulatory bodies. I think there's going to be much more investment in technology to automate processes and to provide frictionless solutions. And so I'm going to see, I think, some more fintech and regtech sports betting convergence.
Well, thanks to all of you. It's been amazing. Thanks to everyone who's here at G2E. This has been our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. We've had an amazing group. Scott, Eric, Chris, really appreciate it. And thanks for having us.